Today, as we before we come to the message, just to remind those who are here that today is the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And if you are a guest, you're welcome to come and partake in this holy meal. We come forward in this church through the middle aisle, and there are teams that will be there to assist you to take the bread, dip it in the cup, and then partake, and then return to your seat using the side aisles wherever you partake from. Today I begin a series of sermons. The Time of Your Life is the title, the theme, and the message today is halftime. Now, I want to tell you how bold this is and how difficult a commitment it was to make, because next Sunday is our Scout Sunday, and the sermon next Sunday is Growing Old Gracefully. And usually I address that message for the Scouts present. I've not gotten much feedback from them, and so today, next week they don't get it. They're going to hear about growing old gracefully. Maybe it'll be the best message they've ever heard for them. We'll see. But today's halftime, and there are two scripture readings. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses, and then again in John's Gospel, again chapter 3, and the first 10 verses. So first, from the writer of Ecclesiastes, these words beginning at verse 1 in chapter 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And then in John's Gospel, again in chapter 3, verse 1, now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Let's pray as we come to the message. Oh Lord, we thank you for your written word, which you have used to reveal yourself to us, and also the living word in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who you have revealed yourself to us through. Open our hearts and minds this day that we might hear your living word, and may the Holy Spirit speak to each person here, at whatever age they may be. In Christ's name, amen. The Time of Your Life, that's the name of this series. And it really is to say that the truth is, as human beings, we all go through developmental stages in life, in the human life cycle. Erik Erikson, a noted psychologist, has listed 8 stages of human development. His books are well worth reading. I remember years ago reading Gail Sheehy's book called Passages. She has a new book that came out a number of years ago called New Passages. And every 5 or 6 years, I feel like I need to go back and read her book on passages. Because it's true, we go through different stages as we grow older, different developmental stages. One contemporary author says it this way, very simply. He said we go through the stages of morning, afternoon, and evening, just three. Another author does so by the seasons of the year, saying there is spring, summer, fall, and a winter in life. Another does it by months, January being the beginning and December being our older years. But the truth that you need to hear this morning, wherever you are in age, is that all of us need to celebrate the wonders and the joys that come with each stage of development in that human life cycle. The author of Ecclesiastes says this very well. He says there's a rich tapestry of experiences, there's a rich tapestry of moods that we go through in life. As we develop and grow older, some are contrasting, and he lists them. He says there's weeping and laughing, loving and hating, war and peace, dancing and mourning. We are born and we die, but hopefully we die full of years and full of life, trusting God who orders life both now and in the life to come. We trust God as we grow through life and grow older in this life, and look forward to the life promised. And so today's sermon is called Halftime. And with all that said about the stages of human development, I named it Halftime because today is what? The Super Bowl, that's right. My team did not make it in. That may be true for a number of you. But you know that halftime in the Super Bowl or any football game is the intermission between two halves of the game. During halftime, in a football game, the coach and each team and their captains, they gather separately and they decide whether to change their plans, perhaps to bring in a new play or a number of new plays or new players. But then they also consider, if all is going well, why change? You may see that happen this evening. Some may change, some may not. Because if they're dissatisfied with their performance, perhaps they're losing the game, a new strategy may be called upon if they're going to win. Moreover, halftime reminds us that there is still time on the clock. The clock is ticking. But the clock for every one of us in this one life we've been given on earth is running out. And so today we consider halftime. We compare all of that with our own halftime. Some here are in their first half. Some are in their second half. Some may be in overtime. I was on vacation this week, but I thought well of it enough to consider calling a few people, not to surprise them, and talking about halftime. And so I called one of our members who's running to be pastor of this church, Bill Lewis. And Bill is 90 years of age, and I wanted to explain the message to him and not to surprise him. And so we had a really good laugh that he felt I needed to call him and apologize for the message. And so I stopped with Bill and didn't call anybody else. Aren't you glad, Gary? He had a great laugh, Bill Lewis did, and so did Gary just now in his own way. And he said, well, Chris, he said, don't worry. He said, I know I'm in the fourth quarter. Or maybe, as you describe it, maybe I'm in December. He said, Margaret and I have looked back, and we really don't think we would change anything. And we're at peace with that. What a wonderful stage in life to be. Lovingly, let me say to you today that I'm not going to play the age game at whatever age you are, though that's fun to play. I've had it played on me before. I remember many years ago, when I turned 40, one joker at my birthday party said, well, Chris, it's downhill all the way from here. And that was from a friend, by the way. I checked, and the U.S. Census that will be taken this year lists middle age now from 45 to 65. And I can imagine in future census taking, that number will go up because people are living longer and middle age is expanding. The point is that in life, at any age, it's worth stopping. It's worth stopping for a moment and reflecting on what you were doing and how things are going and if it's working. And if you need to make a change with the time that you have that's remaining, it's worth considering. Halftime. It's whenever we stop and review what we have done and wonder what we are called to do in the time that's left. And so halftime can be at any age. Bob Buford, years ago, he wrote a book called Halftime. I encourage you, if you haven't read that book in some years, it's been out since the mid-90s, I believe. It's a book worth reading because he stopped what he was doing in the halftime of his life and took a new direction. He says in his book that reassessing our plans is possible as long as we breathe. And I think he's right about that. It's never too late to discover a better way, a different way. Halftime. Let me suggest this morning some changes we might consider in the second half. First, in the second half, you might take some time to appreciate and enjoy every minute of the game. Every minute. Rejoice that you are able to play, and rejoice and remember that play is a part of life. Not all work, but play is a part of it. In other words, savor the basic joys of living. So many of us don't do that. For example, the smell of a wood burning in the fireplace, the delight in a child's face, or even when a child runs through the store, the taste of a good cup of coffee or a good cup of tea. The sky when it's so blue that the clouds look like painted little white dots. As the painter Bob Ross used to say, they look like happy little accidents. Of course, we all have troubles. We all worry about things more than we should. And some things, it seems, can never be resolved. And yet there are joys in life, joys like in taking a walk, the enjoyment of a beautiful wildflower that seems to come from nowhere, the joys in this area of walking on the beach and seeing a dolphin jump over and over. Take time out to fully enjoy God's gifts to us. Secondly, in the second half, take time to recover from your mistakes in the first half. The game is won or lost in the second half. At halftime, don't spend your time going back with all sorts of regrets. We can learn from mistakes, we can learn from failures, and we can make corrections. And as we talked last week, Christ is a big deal, and Christ can make you new. Christ can renew you for that second half. I don't know why, but some people, as they get older, it seems they major in weaknesses rather than their strengths. Do you know what I mean? There's some people, if they had a tendency to control other people in the first half, they want to control everything in the second half. You know what I mean? If they lean toward being judgmental and critical, when they add up the years that go by so quickly, sometimes they become hypercritical of everyone, from the server in the dining room or the restaurant to the person who sits across the table from them. And so it's wise today for us to take an intermission, to take a time out, to take a halftime, and think about the person you want to become in the second half, and that's at whatever age you find yourself at present. How do you want to be remembered by others? Take time out and use your halftime to pray to God. To pray to God to give you strength so that when the whistle blows for tomorrow, and it will, you will have strength to go through the particular temptations and terrors that are there. You may decide in the second half to take care of some unfinished business. Are there people who you owe some kindness to that you have forgotten over the years? Is there someone you might say, "I'm sorry," and then try to make amends? It's true in the steps of AA to seek out, it says, to seek out those you have hurt and try to make restitution to them as much as possible. With God's grace, we can recover from mistakes in the second half. Thirdly, in the second half, we have time to get back to the basics, and that's really important to get back to the basics. In other words, we need to simplify. Early in life, we have a tendency to accumulate things as a way to measure success, perhaps, to buy a house and a car and on and on and on. And many of us remember those early years to the point in which we remember times in which we really didn't have very much. We sometimes say to others, when we started out, we really had nothing. And it's true. But we have a tendency to accumulate. And it's one of the reasons that I'm proud of this church, because of that annual garage sale. It reminds us that in the second half, it's time to simplify. And we're reminded of that every year. And you do so well at it. And so start sticking stuff away for next year, right? It's important to simplify, get back to the basics. In the second half, we come to understand clearly the joy of giving things away. The joy of giving rather than taking. The importance of relationships finally dawns on us, and it's not the importance of things. A good football team at halftime goes back to the basics, to the running and the blocking and the tackling, right? And so, thirdly, go back to the basics. Fourthly, in the second half, you will truly, whether you try or not, you will reveal your true character, what you're made of. That happens in the second half. I think this morning of General Robert E. Lee, that old Confederate general. When he retired, he moved to Virginia after the Civil War, and he went there as a defeated warrior. But Lee was approached by some financiers, and they asked him to lend his influence and name to what was then called the infamous Louisiana Lottery. During the time of the Civil War and just after that, all the lotteries had a very bad reputation of corruption, and they kept most of the money that people put in the lottery. But he was approached by those financiers and asked to lend his influence and name for a handsome price to that Louisiana Lottery. And Lee responded to their offer by saying this: "I have lost nearly everything I've had in life, and I do not intend to lose my good name." And so in the second half, show your character. Keep your good name. Patience, good humor, faithfulness to a good finish, reaching down for something extra even when you have been knocked down and winded, perhaps in a job for 14 or more years that wasn't good to you, and now here you go. Show your character. It will show itself in the second half. In football, they talk about the courage of playing when you're hurt. Veterans in the second half, they do it all the time. And so I want to say to you this morning, and this, if last week was more of a theological sermon, this morning is more of a pastoral sermon, because I want to say to you as your pastor that I have been ennobled, I have been encouraged, because I see so many fight the good fight here and keep on keeping on even when there's difficulty, and that's called character. Let your character shine in the second half. Let your faith shine. And then fifthly, finally, in the second half, or even if it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter or overtime, I encourage you to reach down deeper in faith to God who holds us up. What does God want you to do in the time you have left? Christ is always calling us to grow in some particular way. How is he calling you to grow today as you go from here into your second half? A time of decision to practice the faith has come today, deeper perhaps than ever before in the second half. I think of Nicodemus this morning that we read from in the third chapter of John. He was old. He was a respected member of the court. He was successful. What brought him out in the middle of the night to speak to the prophet Jesus? What brought him out to speak to Jesus? I know what it was. There was something in Nicodemus' life that he knew was missing. And Jesus said to old Nicodemus, he said, "You don't have to be, Nicodemus, the same person you've always been. You can become new if you let my spirit invade your person." And so the question I leave you with as we come to this table this morning is, what time is it in your life? Because Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, has been around for a long time. How are you going to play in the second half?